What are you doing? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Mr. President,
I've missed you.
And the state of our union is
racist.
Donald Trump keeps insisting that he's the least racist person anyone has ever met. He has to explain why the single most consistent thing in his whole life is he loves to pick fights with black people. Of all his myriad insanities, if I had to pick one line for his tombstone, it would be, "Here lies Donald Trump, picked fights with black people." I mean, really, think of the list. Colin Kaepernick, LeVar Ball, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, the war widow from the failed raid in Niger, the war widow's congresswoman, the Central Park Five, Steph Curry, the UCLA basketball players arrested in China, Whoopi Goldberg, April Ryan, the entire NFL, the cast of Hamilton, the city of Atlanta falling apart, Chicago, a disaster, Nigeria, they live in huts, Haiti, they all have AIDS, and the entire continent of Africa, a shithole. Charlottesville, very fine people on both sides. I could continue this list, but we'd be here through the end of February, which is Black History Month, or as Trump likes to say, all months matter. As of today, Trump has tweeted about Obama 2,599 times. Wow. Just his tweets on Obama being a Kenyan who cheated his way into college could fill a book. Steph Curry, ungrateful, yes, because he hesitated on going to the White House. So Trump took back the invitation he never sent to someone who didn't want to go. Then there were the three UCLA basketball players who got caught shoplifting in China. Finally, something Trump could relate to, stealing. But were they grateful? No. Trump tweeted, "Should have left him in jail." Because even though they thanked him, it wasn't really from the heart, guys. Mr. President, by our calculations, you're going to completely run out of black people to have a contrived feud with by the fall of 2019. You'll be down to the Wu-Tang Clan, Famous Amos, and Mr. T.
This right here ain't a battle you really want.
President Trump and Jay-Z are locked in a battle over the black unemployment rate. It began when Jay-Z said this on CNN over the weekend.
Does he have a point that maybe the Democrats have been giving us good lip service but no jobs? Maybe he's going to say terrible things but put money in our pocket. Does that make him a good leader?
No, because it's not about money at the end of the day. Money is not, doesn't equate to like happiness. It doesn't. It's that's not missing the whole point. We treat people like human beings. And then, you know, that's the main point.
The president took offense and tweeted the black unemployment rate is at the lowest level ever recorded because of his policies.
You know, Donald Trump is the weirdest human being ever. If you're already on Twitter, why not just at Jay-Z? Or maybe Trump's like, "Look, I would have, but I'm not on black Twitter. I'm on the normal one."
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about his tweet just a moment ago.
They're better than they have been, and we're certainly making progress, and we want to continue to do that. Look, we want every day to be better than the day before. And again, certainly for Black Americans, for Hispanic Americans, across the board, this is a president who wants life to be better for all Americans.
I like to admit it's getting better.
Now, in Trump's defense, black unemployment in America is at an all-time low. But this is a trend that's been going on since Obama in 2010. So kudos to Trump for keeping the trend going. It's the one thing of Obama's he hasn't messed up. What I don't understand, though, is how low black unemployment in America makes it okay to call African countries holes.
My fellow Americans.
Because you know he's all about his base, about his base. No feelings. He's all about his base and his own self-dealings. He's all about his base, about his base. Appealing to only just his base, just his base.
Base. Yeah, it's pretty clear who this schmuck is talking to. And I can guarantee it's not to me or you. Whatever happens, he's got just one response.
He says what they think to get what he wants.
Why he's still talking uh-huh. about all the travel bans. Uh-huh. I know it's hard to fathom, but he's still got lots of fans.
Who?
If you ain't never seen one, connect the dots, because they're mostly white supremacists and Russian Twitter bots. You know Obama, he told me he loved me no matter what. Abraham Lincoln, he taught me don't settle for what you got.
Also, look behind you if you're sitting in the cheap seats.
And JFK said don't ask what your country can do for you. But Donald Trump says whatever the hell his base wants him to.
Why?
Because you know he's all about his base.
And it's unproductive.
He's all about his base.
And it's real destructive.
He's all about his base.
And it's reductive.
He's all about his base.
About his base. He's bringing stupid back. He's an unmanageable maniac. He likes the dummies who don't give him flack. Cause they're his base.
He'll believe whatever comes out of that hole on his face.
Michelle Obama said when they go low, that's when we go high. But if I get any higher, I'm scared I might touch the sky. He's quick to take credit for fixing the stuff he broke.
We are making America great again.
You know that most of the country still thinks he's a great big joke.
It's no joke that the women's unemployment rate is the lowest in 17 years. It is no joke.
Kellyanne, isn't it true that FBI Director Chris Wray threatened to resign because Jeff Sessions pressured him to fire Deputy Director Andrew McCabe?
I would have no direct knowledge of that.
Uh-huh. And isn't it also true that Donald Trump paid an adult film star hundreds of thousands of dollars in hush money after having an extramarital affair with her in 2006?
No, I have no direct knowledge of what you're saying.
Okay, well then I guess there's just one more thing and then I'll let you go.
I know you're lying because your lips are moving, popping off in interviews. We know he's dumb and you ain't fooling anyone except maybe at Fox News, because his base, it seems to me, are easy to mislead and confuse. I know you lie. Your lips are moving. Maybe you're a sorry excuse.
I hope that Democrats will stop playing games.
Your lips are moving. Your lips are moving. Your lips are moving. Then you lie, 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 baby. Your lips are moving. Mm-hmm. Your lips are moving. Your lips are moving. Then you lie, lie, lie.
Girl, look at me in my face. Tell me that he's not just about his base. Why are you still playing this game? Your time's up, like Stormy Daniels' 15 minutes of fame. You got a bill of love? What a bill of goods. There's no denying Access Hollywood. You heard it telling the truth? You should give it a whirl.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever, girl.
You just cater to your core because they're white, white, white. Guys, they're white guys. But be careful because here comes the FBI.
Look.
I know you're lying.
Because
your lips are moving.
Moving.
Hopping off all over the place. A wall?
Wall?
Well, when they build it,
build it,
maybe they can
and build it around your face because you're gross and you're a douchebag. You could not be more out of place.
And guess what?
We know you lie because your lips are moving.
Your lips are moving.
Baby, you're a friggin' disgrace.
Thank you. Enjoy your week.
Whatever, girl.
This right here is the ticket guests received for State of the Union address. Notice any problems? It says State of the Union with an M. The sergeant at arms office admits the mistake.
Now they're reprinting the tickets, right? They're going to reprint the tickets and they're going to recall the old ones, which could be tough because I've seen members of the Trump administration testify and they can't recall anything.
In the state of our
Union
is lawless.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress,
Vladimir Putin, the state of our union is a mess.
I believe strongly in
lying and lying and lying. Don't forget, I gave a lot of money to a porn star.
We have begun to drain the swamp of members of my cabinet. Watch me drink the water with two hands. The time has come to recognize that Donald Trump was never the right solution for our country.
I would like to add a personal word with regard to an issue that has been of great concern to all Americans over the past year. I refer, of course, to the investigations of the so-called Watergate affair. As you know, I have provided to the special prosecutor voluntarily a great deal of material. I believe that I have provided all the material that he needs to conclude his investigations and to proceed to prosecute the guilty and to clear the innocent. I believe the time has come to bring that investigation and the other investigations of this matter to an end. 1 year of Watergate is enough.
And interesting to hear the response there from obviously Republicans there.
Yeah, we should note it was 6.5 months later that he left office and resigned after he gave those remarks.
As the president was going to Capitol Hill tonight, as he was taking the dais to start this speech, his nominee to be ambassador to South Korea posted an op-ed in the Washington Post tonight on the occasion of the State of the Union, criticizing the president for his policy toward North Korea and apparently withdrawing his name from nomination.
To everyone still recovering in Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, everywhere, we are with you, we love you, and we always will pull through together, always.
That is going to be a comforting message to the people of Puerto Rico once they have electricity to turn on their TVs.
But this wasn't a night for facts. If you came here for facts, you came here for the wrong thing, all right? Tonight was all about celebrating President Trump. And he was in such a good mood that he even reached across the aisle. And not just to grope someone, but to try and get things done.
Tonight, I call upon all of us to set aside our differences, to seek out common ground, and to summon the unity we need to deliver for the people. This is really the key. These are the people we were elected to serve.
Oh, so now you want common ground. Working together sounds beautiful, but the truth is, almost every single time Democrats and Republicans have managed to agree on an idea, Trump has come back from the golf course just in time to screw it up. He's like, four! He did it on immigration, Obamacare.
We all share the same home, the same heart, the same destiny, and the same great American flag.
Really? Because down in Charlottesville, I saw your supporters carrying two other flags.
If there is a mountain, we climb it. If there's a frontier, we cross it. If there's a challenge, we tame it. If there's an opportunity, we seize it.
If there's a burger, we eat it. If there is a porn star, we bone it. If there's an immigrant, we deport it. If there's an investigation, we undermine it.
Around the world, we face rogue regimes, terrorist groups, and rivals like China and Russia that challenge our interests, our economy, and our values.
And we will stop them any way we can, except implementing the Russia sanctions you guys voted for. Hi, Vlad.
So tonight I call on Congress to empower every cabinet secretary with the authority to reward good workers and to remove federal employees who undermine the public trust or fail the American people.
Whoever they are, be they the director or the assistant director of the FBI. Even a special counsel, out.
This line that Nicole mentioned is so striking that it could be in a speech that is this tone deaf. This is the only presidency whose national security advisor committed a crime and has confessed and pled guilty to that crime in his first week in office. And this first State of the Union says that this president promises to remove federal employees who undermine the public trust or fail the American people. That's what Robert Mueller's doing.
We all looked at each other. We just couldn't believe what he'd said, that basically all these great federal workers who work hard every day, basically, yeah, go, let's go ahead and fire them. And I wonder if he was trying to send a signal that if you've got federal officials that you don't like, get rid of them. I wonder if he was trying to send a signal on Mueller or Rothstein.
Well,
or
that's
one of these
what
other
he's doing.
Folks.
It's the slow motion Saturday night massacre. He keeps firing people. He fired Comey, then he's gone out and fired McCabe. He pushed him out. Yep. Now he's aiming at Rosenstein. And we know he's aiming at Mueller, the guy that Rosenstein controls. He's clearly going to purge all people who are prosecuting him with the hopes that they won't get him for obstruction of justice, which is exactly what he's doing.
That the FBI director threatened to resign over Trump's effort to oust the deputy there, Andrew McCabe, a story the White House didn't even deny. And yet today, that FBI director, Ray, publicly explaining why the number two is out, just like Trump wanted. The reason? Ray cites an internal review of McCabe, the number two linked to Hillary Clinton, the same case that was a pretext for firing Comey. If you're keeping score, Trump wanted Comey out because of Russia, but his DOJ said it was because of Clinton bias. And Trump wanted this official, McCabe, out, and now the FBI says, wait for it, it's all because of Clinton bias. You know, an observer might get the impression the White House isn't even working very hard on these cover stories anymore. They're the same story. And put that in this context of the wider purge. FBI Director Comey fired. His deputy, as we're reporting, attacked by Trump, now out. Bob Mueller. Trump attempted to fire him. Then Trump attacked Comey aide Jim Baker. He's been reassigned. Then this week, we have, of course, Mueller's boss, Rod Rosenstein, facing these Trump attacks and reports he's a target in this secretive memo slated for release. And Trump has long blasted Jeff Sessions for recusing from Russia. So if you look at this picture, any one of these moves against these men might be explainable, but taken together, we are seeing, going into this State of the Union, a relentless campaign against every senior investigator involved in the criminal probe into the Trump White House. It may not be a Saturday night massacre, partly because it's not all going down in one Saturday night. But what if the purge is chasing the same Nixonian goals, but spread out
slowly
instead of one lawless night? Students of history are now asking that question.
It looks like a
slow-motion Saturday night massacre.
I wonder if some people in his entourage at least have studied the Saturday night massacre. It's not that Nixon did it, it's the way he did it, and that maybe he would have gotten away with it is if he had done it more slowly and more obliquely, and maybe that's what we're seeing today.
Mike Pompeo, the head of the CIA, gave this interview where he said he has every expectation that Russia will try to meddle again in the midterm elections.
I'm a free trader, totally. I'm a fair trader. I'm all kinds of trader.
First of all, Robert Mueller will decide what kind of traitor you are.
There's been a systemic effort to destroy people or institutions around the Russia probe and around Special Counsel Bob Mueller. The president fired FBI Director James Comey because the president claimed, quote, this Russia thing was a made-up story. He went after the FBI's Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, publicly maligning him and privately, reportedly calling his wife a loser. McCabe resigned yesterday. The new FBI director, Christopher Wray, reportedly threatened to quit if McCabe was fired. Wray has been forced to defend the FBI against the president's claims that it's, quote, in tatters. Mr. Trump has publicly blasted Attorney General Jeff Sessions for recusing himself from the Russia probe. Sessions reportedly at one point offered the president his resignation. And then there's the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. He has been publicly attacked by the president, referred to internally as the Democrat from Baltimore, for appointing Mueller as special counsel in the first place. And the president reportedly considered firing Rosenstein, too. And Now, Trump allies are set to release a memo that they are already using to at least undermine Rosenstein. And at the center of all these attacks is the special counsel, Bob Mueller. The president gave the order to fire Mueller last June. He reportedly backed down, but the attacks on the Justice Department did ramp up. So why? Seemingly because the facts are underpinning the Russia investigation are damning. And since the facts aren't on the president's side, perhaps he's borrowing a page from Johnny Cochran and O.J. Simpson. Go after the fact finders.
The first article of impeachment against Richard Nixon was for obstruction of justice. It said that he, as president, quote, prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice. It specified nine actions the president took that constituted obstruction of justice. In today's New York Times, David Leonhardt used his op-ed page column to write an article of impeachment against Donald J. Trump. He modeled it on that first article of impeachment against Richard Nixon, saying the president prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice. The items in this article of impeachment against Donald J. Trump include, according to David Leonhardt, one, asking FBI Director James Comey for a pledge of loyalty. Two, on February 14, 2017, ordering other officials to leave the Oval Office so there would be no witnesses when he told the FBI Director to, quote, let this go, meaning drop the investigation of Michael Flynn. Three, March 22nd, directing other officials to leave the room so he could ask privately the Director of National Intelligence and the CIA Director to persuade the FBI Director to drop the investigation of Flynn. Four, in March and April, telling the FBI Director to lift the cloud of the investigation. Five, on May 9th, firing the FBI Director James Comey. Six, on May 17th, accusing the Attorney General of disloyalty for allowing a special prosecutor to be appointed. Seven, in June, ordering the firing of the special prosecutor. Eight, on July 8th, aboard Air Force One, composing a false statement for the New York Times for his son, Donald Trump Jr., about a meeting in Trump Tower with Russians during the campaign. Nine, on July 26th, attempting to discredit FBI officials, including the FBI's deputy director, Andrew McCabe, who could be a corroborating witness for James Comey's conversations with the president. 10, and this is language taken directly from the Nixon article of impeachment, quote, making false or misleading public statements for the purpose of deceiving the people of the United States.
Well, Nixon performed a Saturday Night Massacre. Trump is performing a
slow motion Saturday Night Massacre.
Well, this president loves to first give his marked man a death warrant. He shows no need for logical causality, of course, between the accused and the crime. And just as Trump accused Barack Obama of being an illegal alien without a shred of evidence, he now makes charges against those involved in the current investigation against him. All that's necessary to sell Trump's crowd of supporters is a claim itself. James Comey, Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, and now Rod Rosenstein are all being tarred and feathered in the same summary judgment. Trump and his people in Capitol simply declare their guilt of whatever and proceed to scream conspiracy. It's the old Nixon technique. Blame the prosecution and try like hell to avoid being convicted. Keep purging one prosecutor after another, hoping that sooner or later you'll find enough stooges to save you.
We are morons, tried and true, and we'll do our yell for you.
The President of the United States asked three different people who have supervised the Russia investigation whose side they were on. New report tonight that early last month, the President asked Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein if he was, quote, on my team. That's after he reportedly asked then-acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, who he voted for in the 2016 election, and after he told previous FBI Director James Comey, the one that he fired, quote, I need loyalty, I expect loyalty, according to Comey's sworn testimony. It appears to be yet another attempt by this president to interfere in the Justice Department's investigation into whether he or his campaign conspired with a foreign adversary in the criminal sabotage of his opponent's campaign. Over in Congress, there's no question about who's on the president's team. In fact, the undisputed team captain is House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes, who served on the president's transition team, also subject of the Mueller investigation, the transition team that is, and who has already put his name on the line to protect Donald Trump. Last spring, he tried unsuccessfully to launder information from the White House back to the White House to back up the president's bogus wiretapping claim. Now Nunes has written a secret four-page memo
alleging that investigators improperly obtained warrants to surveil members of the Trump campaign. Despite the fact that Nunes has not actually seen the classified material underlying those warrants, the stuff the warrants are based on, he hasn't seen that. He wrote the memo, his staff did. He hasn't seen it. Despite that, the president's allies have run with it.
Members of Congress that have seen this memo, they have called it shocking, alarming, and said it literally mirrors KGB-style tactics. Now, members are also saying it could cause many people to go to jail, and it could lead to the end of the Mueller investigation.
That last line could lead to the end of the Mueller investigation. That presumably is, of course, the whole point. In a letter to Nunes this week, an assistant attorney general, a man who works for and is close to Jeff Sessions, warned that releasing that memo would, without full review, would be, and I quote here, extraordinarily reckless. And after seeing the memo over the weekend, FBI Director Christopher Wray, a man who Donald Trump appointed just a few months ago, went to the White House on Monday, along with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, to appeal to the President's Chief of Staff, John Kelly, directly not to make the memo public. But later that day, House Intelligence Republicans, led by Nunes, went ahead and voted to release the memo anyway.
Seems to be about potential real compromises to national security. And, you know, that's why, to me, this is, amongst one of the most dangerous days of this presidency so far.
I believe that Donald Trump in the White House would be more abusive of the Constitution than Barack Obama, and that's saying a lot.
And the state of our union is lawless. Lawless as the president tries to remove Bob Mueller through tactics like this. Lawless as his aides in Congress seek to help him.
And throughout my whole life, somebody will explain someday why, but I've always gotten a lot. And as a businessman, I was always treated really well by the press. You know, the numbers speak and things happen, but I've always really had a very good press. And it wasn't until I became a politician that I realized how nasty, how mean, how vicious, and how fake the press can be as the cameras start going off in the back.
For the song this week from the
Beatles, Randy, Rainbow,
John Williams,
Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Eric Swalwell,
Bill
Maher, Katie Ter, Van Jones, JZ, Trevor Noah, Kellyanne Conway, Stephen Colbert, Richard Nixon, Anderson Kupel,
Rachel
Maddow, Lawrence,
your dog.
Terry McAuliffe,
Chris
Matthews, Ari Melba, Chuck Todd,
The Three
Stooges,
and Chris
Murphy.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.